AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A major storm on the West Coast brings heavy rain, strong wind, and snow. It's part of a system that's being called an atmospheric river, which can lead to flooding. CBS's Carter Evans in Los Angeles.
All that moisture brought the snowpack to 162% of its normal level.
And that Sierra Nevada snowpack really acts as a frozen reservoir for the majority of Californians.
Two-thirds of residents rely on it for water, and most of the state remains in severe or extreme drought.
I can't imagine a single water manager that's not breathing a little easier after these initial storms.
Papa Emerito Benedetto.
The Vatican says the health of 95-year-old Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI has declined. Pope Francis has appealed to the faithful to pray for his very ill predecessor until the end. Benedict was the first pope to resign in nearly 600 years. Southwest again cancels thousands of flights, leaving passengers stranded across the country. Another problem, the piles of yet-to-be-claimed luggage. Kathleen Hardy was finally able to fly from Phoenix to Chicago, but when she arrived at Midway Airport, there was no telling where her bags were.
What do I do? And they said, you come out here and wait. Could be an hour to try to find your bag. And I said, well, what do I do after an hour? And they said, well, we'll come and get you. And I said, well, what if you're helping other people and that line grows? That's okay. We'll come and get you. Well, right now it's just disappointing.
Investigations are mounting for Republican U.S. Congressman-elect George Santos of New York after revelations that he lied about his background as he campaigned for office. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Congressman-elect George Santos is now under investigation by the Nassau County District Attorney's Office. The DA saying the numerous fabrications are nothing short of stunning. It comes after revelations that the Republican lied about his heritage, education, and professional life when he campaigned successfully for Congress, winning his seat last month. CBS News has also learned that federal prosecutors are looking into his finances. The 34-year-old is set to be sworn in Tuesday.
CBS's Jim Crisula reports on new findings about the ill effects of loneliness.
Loneliness, social isolation, and living alone can shave years off the lives of people with heart disease. That's according to a new international study done by researchers in Ireland. They concluded more needs to be done to determine the link between loneliness and an increased risk of premature death.
A Grammy-nominated rapper who has worked with artists, including Ye, is reported missing in Los Angeles. The family of rapper Theophilus London has filed a missing persons report and is asking for the public's help to find him, saying he's been missing for months. An LAPD news release says London was last seen in the Skid Row area on October 15th. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Comedian, business owner, bearded American.
Don't just do it when you're drinking with your buddies. Because then it gets weird, because then you just tell each other you love each other all the time and it gets annoying. Trust me, I've been that guy.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, Waukesha. Everyone's streaming anywhere in the country. I don't know. Maybe there's someone in California listening right now. Hello, Jane.
Good morning.
And hello, Greg Bach.
It is Greg Bach because it's Wednesday day.
It is Wednesday, the hump day, the last Wednesday of 2022.
Oh, man. What are we going to do today? We're going to talk about stuff.
Going to talk about stuff. That is true.
Awesome.
What are we going to do today? So we are at, 12 o'clock? We're going to have Brett Poliquin from Habitat for Humanity, Waukesha.
Very cool.
He's going to be here to talk about different projects that they're doing, affordable housing when it comes to Waukesha. So that will be very fun. And then at 12:30, we're going to play. We have a lot of games today because it feels like a game kind of week.
Yeah.
So, the 10 most, you know, this is the week that everything comes down as far as the top lists, the best stories, the best inventions, yada, yada, yada. So the 10 most viral moments of the year, and I feel like viral means online. So I thought, you know, it's always fun when we have Greg here because I feel like we span 4 different generations. We have Jane as a boomer. We have you, who's Gen X. I am a millennial. And then Brooklyn is Gen Z. And it's kind of fun to see who knows what when it comes to pop culture. So I thought we'd play a little game to see, of these top viral moments, who remembers what?
Real quick question. Is there a list for best Wednesday co-hosts of a talk show, radio show in Wisconsin?
There is in my heart.
Oh, you.
And you win.
That was the best Christmas present ever.
Your friend,
yes.
Headliner.
Yes.
For the Laughing Tap this weekend.
Correct.
For the New Year's Eve show.
Correct.
Mr. Nate Craig.
Yes.
Is going to join us. And fun fact, as I think you probably told me this, but I was not listening. He is a Wisconsin native.
Thanks, buddy.
And he's not only a Wisconsin native and a UW-Madison graduate, he also went to Madison West, which is my high school. And I'm just hoping that he is either significantly older, or at least 4 years older or younger than me, because I don't remember going to school with him. So I'm just hoping that I'm not the jerk who didn't know him in high school.
Oh boy, I can't wait for sparks and fireworks to fly. He's gonna be like, hey Chris, remember that time at the pep rally when blah 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 blah? And you'd be like, yeah, totally, guy Nate, person with the last name, because I don't listen to Greg when he talks.
But he is a very successful comedian and actor. He made it out of Wisconsin to LA. It is touring, is starring on shows. And so, you know, just to remind him of where he's from, we're going to play How Wisconsin Is It, where we read some of the top very Wisconsin stories of 2022,
yeah.
And Nate will come up with an arbitrary rating of how he ranks it.
Here, I was going to say we spent long, hard hours in our scientific labs here at Asgo's Wisconsin to come up with the best rating system, but you blew that out of the water, too.
Just ruining everything today. And then at 1:30, we're going to fill out the annual headline of the year bracket, and there's some doozies. This is not Wisconsin headlines. This is international headlines. But maybe some of them you remember. Maybe some of them you're hearing for the first time. All of them are true, but ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we will fill that out. And that's going to be the show. But to start off with, I feel like the story of the day is airline service.
Ooh, Mother Glory. Oh, Mother Glory.
I got a text from my best friend, our Thursday regular guest, Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who lives in Colorado.
Oh, they were in Vegas, weren't they?
They were in Vegas. And he texted me Monday and said, be glad you never have to travel out of state for the holidays anymore. And I think that is,
yes,
especially this year, very true. In marrying a Wisconsin boy, our travel is limited to driving, and I don't have to deal with ever getting on a plane anymore and missing the holidays, because a lot of people, specifically if you were flying Southwest, did not have that luxury.
I have three people in my family who got messed over by Southwest.
Really?
Yeah. My brother-in-law, his flight here was smooth. His flight back got just got delayed. Okay, delayed. He got out. He's back in San Francisco. Good to go. My sister-in-law, she got here great in the face of the storm, too, which we were surprised about. Then it turned out her flight was delayed, then canceled again. And now she's driving back to D.C. She has to go to Rockford to get a car because it was the only place she could find a one-way car service. Drive all the way back to D.C. on the 2nd of next month, which she was supposed to leave tomorrow. And then my brother-in-law, actually, I used to say her partner, my brother-in-law, I consider him, he got his flight delayed, canceled. Then they said, we can get you in at Christmas Day at 10:30 p.m. He had to leave at 8:30 the next day. So, I mean, it's just one after another after another. And so you're right. I am so happy. All I have to do is drive.
I know. Well, we want to hear for your horror stories. 844-967-2789, specifically your flight horror stories when you've gotten stranded or canceled or, you know, somewhere where you had a layover and you were stuck there. Because I think a lot, we have some, you know, commiserate with some of the people who really got screwed this past week because, and it's specific, I'm feeling a little nervous because this sounds like it's, you know, not just a, for Southwest, from what I've read, this isn't just a weather thing because something like 80% of the canceled flights were their flights. So somehow the other airlines were able to figure this out.
Yeah.
No, so the Southwest Airlines accounted for 85% of canceled domestic flights Tuesday, drawing the attention of U.S. regulators and lawmakers amid a days-long meltdown of holiday air travel that began with a winter storm last week. So this sounds like less about weather.
Yeah.
It's obviously that was the catalyst for what started it, but it sounds like they're booking, their systems are out of date.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't invested in actually being able to, like, it was just a trigger effect of not knowing where staff was and flight attendants were and where they were, like, in real time. So everything was backlogged and just there was, like, people, I think they released something that said people were sick. And so now they're going to have some kind of system where you have to have a doctor's note or something.
Yep.
But it just, but the bigger issue is here, what I think is, and this goes for the entire year. I feel like one of the top stories of 2022 is canceled flights. Because while this is terrible, I mean, I heard something that since in the last week, it's like 13,000 flights of Southwest flights have been canceled. But the whole year, I feel like every major holiday weekend of 2022, there was some big story of people stranded, flights canceled. And, you know, I remember listening to one podcast that was trying to explain it's partially because, you know, they laid off so many people or furloughed so many people or encouraged people to retire during 2020. And there were still backlogs and all these different things. But ultimately, this is an industry that has been bailed out with taxpayer dollars multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic, there was three separate statutes that the 10 major U.S. passenger airlines received, and it was more than $54 billion in total. And so ultimately, what is due to consumers and to passengers when you totally screw them over because you haven't made the investments in your systems to make sure that things can run smoothly when there's inevitably weather?
Yeah. Well, I feel like at the end of the day that the answer to your question is zero, because at the end of the day, they always get their money and then they manage to pass the increases onto us, whether it's, you know, you have to pay for every bag. Like Southwest,
well, Southwest,
is all
now,
about, Southwest is all about like your first two bags are free, but it's like, that's fine, but I can't get on a plane and go home. So who cares about my bags? But I always feel like the airline industry, no matter how much money they get from us, the taxpayers, still manage to jack those prices up. I mean, they jacked those prices up after 9/11. They jacked those prices up after the pandemic was starting to slow down and people were traveling. I mean, flights were so expensive after the pandemic to like places like St. Louis. So I feel like they're not doing anything for this, and they don't ever plan on doing anything because at the end of the day, they don't have to. We need them. They need us, but we need them more because we have to fly. And people aren't going to be like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to take boats now. Can hear, well, James been like, laughing in the, you know,
Wisconsin to San Francisco is going to be a great trip on a boat.
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, and it's also frustrating because at least if you live in the East Coast, there's a pretty comprehensive train system, right?
Yeah.
Like if you can get from D.C. to New York, New York to Boston via train, that doesn't exist in for most of the country, at least in not an efficient manner.
It could have. Thanks, Scott Walker.
I know.
It could have.
It could. It still can.
It's. I mean, yes. I mean, that would be a train that took you from St. Louis all the way up to Minneapolis, even into Canada. That would be an amazing system.
Well, this is one of the stories we covered a couple weeks ago that in France, I mean, this is largely because of the because of climate change. They've limited, if it's a 2.5 hour, I forgot if it's a 2.5 hour flight or a 2.5 hour train ride, no more domestic flights that are in that time span.
I think if the duration is 2.5 hours for a train, they don't have a flight for it.
Yeah. So basically, like if there's a domestic destination that you could take a train, they're no longer offering services to just take the Puddle Jumper plane. Which in this country, one, I think people would riot.
Yeah.
But two, wouldn't work because we don't have that train system anymore.
No, we don't have a train system. But also over there, it's even worse because like, you can hop a flight for $70. It's so common to be like, oh, I'm going to take a flight from the lower half of England to Scotland or to Ireland, and it's going to cost you very little money, and you're going to be there in a couple hours. Just don't check a bag. Ryanair, we're better than Southwest.
Boy, that's low praise now.
that's the problem is I have a Southwest credit card. I have points. I'm using them next month. I'm going to New Orleans.
Well, that's Mike's business card is a Southwest card. And that's how we chose where we went for our honeymoon, is because we're like, well, let's go somewhere that Southwest flies to because let's use these points instead of paying more money. So we are, for the foreseeable future, stuck with this airline desperately needs to update their systems.
Dude, yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, we got to take our first break, but we still want to hear from you. What is your horror story when it comes to airlines? Where you were too stuck? How were you treated? 844-967-2789. I have mine. Greg, do you have one?
I have one. Minor, but I hope
Jane, do you have one? All right, you'll hear ours, but we desperately want to hear from you because that's more fun. 844-967-2789. We will be right back.
It's hump day.
Hump day. Uh-oh.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Uh-oh.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows dip down to about 37
overnight under cloudy skies.
Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 47.
Tomorrow,
overcast skies.
Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night.
Lows dip down to about 34.
Dry with temperatures a bit above average.
Friday and Saturday,
and highs in the upper 30s.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
With Kristen Bry and Greg Buck, because it's Wednesday. We are talking about our horror stories when it comes to flying, and we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us a text, give us a call, 844-967-2789, because what should we title this? The Southwest Meltdown of 2022?
I think they've already done that, and someone on Twitter said a Southwest Meltdown is something I would definitely order in a restaurant.
That's true. That's a good one.
That's a good sandwich. I imagine what that sandwich already looks like.
Friend of the show, very dear friend of mine, Ariel Elias, she tweeted this morning. She goes, Southwest is the most relatable flight because I cancel on everyone in the winter, too. comedians, you guys.
They're so funny.
So I'm trying to think of my worst one. And the two that come to mind, one I feel like isn't worst because we figured it out.
Yeah.
But short story was, it was flying for Dr. Mike's wedding in 2021. We had a Southwest flight out of Milwaukee, got there, it was canceled, and there was no flight to get to Denver until the next day or something like that. And it was the middle of the summer, so it wasn't weather. So we end up booking a United flight, driving to Madison in time to catch the same United flight my parents were taking also to go to the wedding. And it all worked out. But the worst one, I think, actually, and it wasn't even anyone's fault. It was just the circumstances. So if you're, this is not supposed to be a humble brag, but I had gone to Bali, went to Bali, and there's no easy way to get to Bali in Indonesia. Like, you have to either fly through, you know, Japan, or I forgot, where did we fly through? Singapore? It was Philippines.
Detroit.
Philippines, okay. Yes. Also Detroit. And so we were coming back, and we had like an 8-hour layover in the Filipino airport. I forgot what the major city was. But you couldn't leave the one terminal you were in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had spent all of our money, like our cash money that was in whatever the Indonesian currency was. And none of the vendors in there took card.
Oh, boy.
So for 8 hours, we were just sitting there. I couldn't get any food. There was nothing you could buy to help, like, spend the time.
What was your level of hangry?
Oh, so bad. So bad. And so that wasn't really, like, an airline mistake, but that was by far the worst layover ever because, you know, it's a time to consume stuff, right? Yeah. And I was just, you couldn't, I literally, because like they had like really cheap massages, couldn't do that. It was awful.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I mean, I was lucky. I've been lucky. My flights have been relatively painless over my lifetime. The worst one ever was we were flying out of Wisconsin. It was so cold. It wasn't snowing, but it was so cold that the plane had completely frozen over. The wings were frozen. So they start, and so we're sitting there and we're waiting and we're waiting for like a couple hours. And all of a sudden we're just sitting there and this orangish liquid starts pouring all over the plane. And I'm like, this looks like gasoline. What is happening right now? And they doused the entire plane with a de-icing agent. Mm. But I feel like that's something you should tell everybody. Hey, what we're doing right now, we're going to de-ice the plane. So if you see some liquid, we're fine. Not like my first thought was, oh, we're going to explode on the tarmac. And then my coworker I was with, he goes, I'll show what we're going to do when we land. And he goes, well, he actually didn't show me. He just went to the desk and he goes, there's me and two other guys. He goes, I got us all each two free flight vouchers. I'm like, how did you do that? He goes, you got to know the system. I'm like, can you teach me the system? And I got two free flight vouchers and my plane did not explode. So
that sounds like a good story.
It's a good story, but that's like, honestly, like it's the exception of like going to San Francisco and showing up early and they're like, oh, your flight's been delayed by 7 hours. Let me just sit in the San Francisco. And then they gave us snacks.
Which depending on what year it was.
It was like 2016, 2017.
So maybe that was before SFO became basically the nicest airport in the country.
Yes, very, yes. Yeah, because that's very...
Because now it's very
That's
nice.
Very recently. Yes, that's... Yeah.
I could live there now.
When we went there, dump.
Yeah.
But we just sat there, and then after a while, they were like, well, let's get them some cookies. And then we're like, can we have some money, too? Or a sandwich? Or
I know. What's yours, Jane?
Mine's kind of long. I don't know if we have time. 1989, I traveled with the Racine Theater Guild on a community theater exchange to the country of Georgia. This was before perestroika. This was before things had loosened up between the U.S. and Russia. So you still needed a visa So on our way back from Georgia, after we'd been there for 2 weeks, we get to the Moscow airport and we're on Yugoslav Airlines and the flight is canceled. No one speaks English. No one knows what's going on. We can't leave the terminal because our visas have expired now. So we can't go outside anymore. And at one point, they said, okay, if you want to go stay overnight at a hotel, everybody has to leave now. Well, we have a group of 50 people, and they're all over the place. And it was like, nope, immediately, if you don't leave now. So we were stuck at the Moscow airport for 36 hours. Sleeping on the floor. One of my compatriots had a sign. It was because Yacht Airlines, it was J-A-T. We had a big yacht in a red circle with a slash through it.
That's right. Endear yourself to the locals.
Oh, it gets even better. Two of us got called to like the airport manager's office because we can been complaining about no water, no food, no nothing, no vouchers. And this very not happy Russian is like, are you not happy? This is not going. We are not treating you well. This is not good. And Corey, I remember, was with me and is like, no, this is not good. This is terrible. This is not how you treat
people. And
you're
like, shut up, Corey. Shut up.
I know.
Corey.
It's like, we got to get back through passport control and our visas are expired.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You win. It's not a contest, but you win.
And with the birds flying around over your head and everything in the airport as you're trying to sleep or get something to eat, it was choice.
Welcome to Yugoslav Airport.
No, this was Moscow.
Moscow
Airport. Have a good time. Don't come back.
You have half sandwich, you be hippie.
And on that note, we're going to a break.
I gotta get away, get away. Girl, I gotta get away, get away. Oh, oh, oh yeah! I want to get away. I wanna fly away. Yeah!
The Shaw 101 FM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Winter won't let up on either coast. The Weather Channel meteorologist Alex Wilson says to the east.
I think we'll see more travel issues as we head into the holiday weekend with delays expected from the southeast into the northeast. Soggy Times Square. Out west, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day remain active. So anticipate more travel delays in that part of the country.
A major storm on the West Coast brings heavy rain, strong wind, and snow. Southwest Airlines canceled some 2,500 flights today. Caitlin Belthrop snagged a rental car at Sacramento's airport for a drive to Oregon.
Renting the car and loading both girls up and doing the 7-hour drive.
Pope Francis, during his weekly audience, asks for prayers for Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, as CBS's Chris Livesay reports.
The Vatican says that right after the general audience, Pope Francis went and personally met with Benedict, which is not the first time he's done that. In fact, Pope Francis is constantly reporting on the health of his predecessor.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they...
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom. Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. If you miss any part of today's show, and why would you ever miss any part of, why do you not dedicate 3 hours of your day every day listening to this show?
What, do you have a life? Come on.
But
I feel attacked right now.
I know. Don't forget, my mom did. I asked my mom while I was home. I was like, how much of my show every day do you think you listen to? And she said she's good for certainly an hour.
Yeah.
Two at most. She's like, I rarely can listen to the whole thing. I have things to do.
Well, shout out to Mrs. Bry for listening to the most important day of the week. It's Wednesday.
That's true.
When I'm here.
Greg Bach, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Again, if you miss any part of today's show, though, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can also subscribe so you always get it to your Apple or your Spotify. And when there's
your
new
Google,
your Googles. And so when there's a new episode, which is daily, and then we do a best of on the weekends, and we post the individual interviews, we have a lot of content. You can do that on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. All right. Well, we're going to get to some headlines that caught our eye. And this first one, I think is... It's not... I would say it's interesting, but it's not necessarily substantial because it's all just words for now.
As most things are?
No, sometimes there's action that is backed up by the words, but sometimes it's like, this is what we're planning to do, and you know, we'll see if it actually happens. But you brought this to my attention, and we've talked about this before. The state Republican Party has elected a new chairman, mm-hmm. Brian Schimming, who is a very long-standing political activist for the Republican Party. He was in, I think, Tommy Thompson's campaign or was in his administration at one point or another. But I don't think this was the day you were here, but the Cap Times opinion board wrote a very hopeful op-ed saying, because of kind of his long-standing and being that kind of Tommy Thompson era Republican, maybe he can hone in or rein in the extremism and some of the more, I don't know if it's like culture war stuff that's not necessarily good. It's good for the base, but it's not good for Wisconsin. And you can see that reflected in statewide races. Republicans have not necessarily been winning. And you found this article from Bill Glauber, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying that he's basically, so far, he being Brian Schimming, is saying that's kind of what he's thinking. That's his train of thought.
The quote that's in the first paragraph of the story, he says, "I'm not coming over here to milk sacred cows," which I think is a very telling thing. Because I think right now, as far as Republicans go, there, I mean, that very much is true. There is these topics that you either are for or against. That's it. There's no gray area. There's no anything. It's you are either for or against. And if you are against it and is with us, you are with us. If you, you know, if you even say like, well, I believe I have some pro-choice leanings, get out of our party. You know, like it's, I think it sounds like what he wants to do. And I'm hoping, like, as you said, they're words right now. They're not actions at this point, is take that Republican Party and bring it back to somewhere towards the center, somewhere towards, you know, workability, compromise. Now, he can do that all he wants. I mean, he only has so much power with the party itself. He can't tell lawmakers in Madison what to do. I mean, he can suggest, he can say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. And they're like, yeah, that's great, cool. I'm going to go ahead and keep saying that January 6th was a patriotic act and the election was stolen. But it seems like this guy wants to bring it back to a more level-headed area,
which would be
absolutely great. I mean, I would love to see that. But something you hear every single time people talk about politics is there's no compromise, there's no talking, so much fighting, and that's not untrue. But what are we going to do about it? And if this is what he wants to do, if this is what Brian wants to do, I mean, I think that's great. Seems like he's got a lot of influence amongst the party, both locally, statewide, and nationally, which is great. He's got respectability. But at the end of the day, how much power can he really have if, you know, the overall census is, you know, we want to keep doing what we're doing and keep going further if we have to.
Do you think that's the census?
I don't think so, honestly. I think if one thing we've learned from the 2022 midterms is I think that Republicans, and I'm not a Republican, and if there are any listening right now, please let us know. Because if you're listening to this show, I have to imagine that you... Unless you're hate listening right now, but
that's not true. I sometimes get comments. I actually got a Merry Christmas from someone on as a DM on Instagram. I can't think of his name right now. That he says, "You're my favorite liberal."
Oh, that's great.
Account to follow.
Well, that's nice.
He's like, "I'm more conservative, but I appreciate your." So we have some conservative listeners.
I think after the 2022 election, the midterms, I think one thing we've really learned here is that there is some burnout. That there is, I mean, you can only fly that flag for so long where you're getting burnt out yourself. You only have so much time in the day. And at one point you got to come back to the base ideas, not just the base itself, but the base ideas. Like, what are we for? We're for smaller government, limited taxes, more freedom. And I'm not saying that as a joke either. Like these are the things that, you know, people, mostly like I am pro-life, but I'm also not a monster. Can we get back to that? Can we get back to talking? Can we get back to compromise? Is there a chance? If that's what you want, that sounds great. And if that's what Brian can bring to that party, I think that's going to be helpful for this state.
I agree.
Especially in terms of things like education. When you got Governor Evers wanting to propose a $2 billion education plan in the new year, can he get on board and say, hey, there are good points to this package, instead of having people saying, nope, we're not going to do it because it's a liberal spending thing. It's like, no, there's some good things in there. Okay, let's try to make it work.
Because I also feel like I and maybe I'm making this up, but I think I saw it on Wispolitics yesterday that even Robin Voss is kind of, it was an interview that he, like, what hill he's going to die on for certain stuff when it comes, I think, for the flat tax, because I feel like that's starting, and that would be a good person to get, we could get maybe someone from Wisconsin Policy Forum to explain the pros and cons of a flat tax, because as far as I understand, it is something that certainly really only benefits the wealthy.
Yeah.
And, but it sounds like he doesn't think that there's going to be much action on an abortion bill before the spring election, but also that he's not going to die on the hill for a flat tax. And so I think it'll be interesting now that they have Evers for another 4 years. He also said, I think in the same interview, that it wouldn't really make much sense to reintroduce the bills that Evers vetoed last time. So potentially maybe we're moving into a world that's a little bit more compromising to actually get things moving forward and done, instead of just calculating in a way that doesn't give it either side. It's like no one can have a win. Yeah. So everybody loses.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope so. I really do. But I also do think that at the end of the day, you also need to elect good, good leaders into the offices. I mean, I have a lot of opinions on Robin Voss.
I know you do.
And
be nice.
I'm not going to be mean.
Story.
I'm not gonna be, but based on his previous time in office, I don't see that happening on his watch. Mm-hmm. Just because he is who he is, he's built this empire for himself. Fine. If you could get a more level-headed, more workable Republican in that district to run, which will never happen. He won this primary. He didn't win it by a lot, which says something. It says something a lot that he didn't win by a massive landslide in the primary. But if you can get someone who's going to come in and say, like, I want to work with the Democrats. I want to work with the governor. I want to make things happen. I'm not here to just say no. I'm not here to red stamp everything that comes across the way and gavel out special meetings in 12 seconds. That would make me happy. That would make me very excited. That's something that where it's like, oh, I wouldn't be upset for my family voting for this person. But we have who we have in medicine, so.
I do think, though, and Kristen and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Greg.
I'm Greg.
I think Greg's coming up later. I think there must have been some amount of shaming and calling these people to actually get them to do anything. And I'm looking at the example of Fred Bad Cottage Cheese Prenn stepping down from the National DNR. You know, your expiration date is 2 years old. Get out of here.
And I feel like you just wanted to bring that topic up again.
It makes me happy. But I do think that they must have heard from enough constituents. It's like, enough is enough. You guys haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, you know, I'm going back to Robin Voss and actually I'm not going to praise him, but this whole thing with the investigation in January 6th, or I'm not January 6th, the election.
The election, the Gableman.
The fact that he kind of just said, like, I'm washing my hands of this, we're done. Like, he's not, I think that says a lot, that he might not be like, hey, I want to work with liberals, but he's like, hey, we need to move forward.
Like, this isn't getting us anywhere.
This is nothing. We spent so much money on this and it's gotten us nothing. It is nothing.
Well, and to go back to what you said, Jane, tomorrow, Susan Yackey from the La Follette School of Public Affairs, I always forget if it's public affairs or public administration, at UW, is going to be on, because she was part of the Main Street Agenda project, which it was WPR, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and La Follette School. And they had a survey that I think like a couple thousand people in Wisconsin took, but then they also had in-person town halls. And one of the big takeaways from that, there's a lot of different takeaways, but one of the big takeaways was, especially when you get in person, people would sit on stage and they'd have very different opinions, because this is Wisconsin and it is a 50-50 state. Mm-hmm. And not only could they sit on stage and disagree, but they actually enjoyed having the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of the big takeaways is people are sick of the fighting. They're sick of things not getting done. They're sick of, in the election cycles, this isn't just Wisconsin, this is what they found, that in the election cycles, they were talking about issues that don't really matter, because they're, you know, they like stuff that riles people up, but it actually isn't what's affecting their lives. And so I think that is true. But again, it goes back to the common theme of, if you only have two choices and they only have to make the other guys look so much worse than you, that's the system that we live in. And so we all want it to be a little bit more compromising and productive while still advocating for the policy that you think is best or prioritizing the things that you think are the biggest problems to be solved. But sheesh, yeah, this like divide and conquer. And as long as we get one more vote than you, we're just going to ram in our agenda. It just doesn't feel like it's representative for a state that like ultimately like you got to try to serve everyone. And also, ideally.
And at the end of the day, it's a plan that's not working. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. I think one of the things in the, cause I've seen this in other, I've seen Republican operatives being interviewed on other shows. And they mentioned this in the article too, is one of the things that Republicans really need to do is embrace the early voting.
Mm-hmm.
They spend so much time and money demonizing it, making it seem like it is the greatest national threat around, when in fact it wasn't. And people voted and in mass numbers early. And that's something that there's no reason why they can't embrace. There's nothing wrong with it. And I'm wondering if that message starts to make its way between now and the presidential in 2024, will you see the bags coming up off of those ballot boxes? Will you see a little more engagement from people and just saying like, oh, it's early voting. I'm going to mail in my ballot, or maybe we can even pass a law that says, hey, when you're 18, you're automatically registered to vote and everybody gets a ballot. It's not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a threat unless you think, oh, people who do that are just liberals. That's wrong.
Yeah.
If you're given the opportunity to be easy and to be fast, people are going to take those and they're going to vote for whomever. So, yeah, I'm hoping that maybe this will be a move towards leaning back and loosening some of those restrictive voting laws we saw happening all over the country in lieu of 2020, which was just, I mean, insulting as an American citizen to see happen.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I feel like as I'm trying to do a roundup for tomorrow, because it feels at an opportune time since we will not have a rerun on Friday, but trying to do different 22 roundup, both national stories and also Wisconsin stories. I mean, certainly, I think there's an argument to me that one of the main Wisconsin stories was all of this election stuff 2 years later. And so we will see what that happens. Well, that took... I mean, that's the only headline we even got to.
That was the only thing that happened.
That is.
That's the only thing that happened in this country. Joe Biden took a week off. He's sleeping right now. That wasn't a sleepy Joe joke. That was just, he's taking a rest. He's the president. You got to rest up.
All right. Well, when we come back, a different kind of chess update.
Oh, no.
It's not what you think it is.
Oh, God.
It's actually a happy one. Oh, and it has nothing to do with sex toys.
Oh, well, bummer.
How's that for a tease? All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. Look very carefully, it may be you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies overnight with lows around 38. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 47. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 34. Dry with temps a bit above average Friday and Saturday, and highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a text. Give us a call. Do we have a text?
We do have a text. We were talking a little bit last couple minutes about Robin Voss and the Republican legislature and whether or not they're actually going to get anything done this year. Texter from the 608 checking in. I'm not sure I'd give Robin Voss much credit for acting reasonable. I just think he knows election denial and game playing is a loser with a lot of voters, especially as we look ahead to the Supreme Court election.
But honestly, that's a win's a win. Right. If it's proven, if that's what forces him to be more reasonable or come to the table and compromise and negotiate, because like just putting your foot down and refusing to even, and I understand that it potentially goes both ways. When that came out earlier this year that they hadn't talked, Evers office and LeMahieu and Voss hadn't talked in months, maybe even over a year. And I don't know who's, I'm sure there's a little bit on both sides is stubbornness and stuff like that. But that's unacceptable to not do the leaders of one party and the leaders of the legislature to just not talk to the governor because they can't, or they just like refuse to.
You
like,
hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Comes back as like it can be seen as a point of weakness. I met with a friend a long time ago and he said, this is back in DC. They said, the congressmen don't talk to each other. The only people who talk to each other are the people behind the scenes because they can, because they won't get judged for doing it because it comes out, oh, so-and-so talked to so-and-so. Why are they doing that? They shouldn't have to talk to screw them. It's just seen as a path of weakness. And I mean, give credit to Robin Voss. Don't give credit to Robin Voss. He crunched the numbers and he did what was in his best interest. And it just so happens to be something that can work for everyone else. So I will give him half credit.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a more fun headline. So if you've been listening to this program, when did you start? I feel like this dates
December 12th, 1977.
Yes, there you go.
This goes back a ways.
This goes back a ways. Was this maybe even August? Was this before my wedding?
I think it was
definitely before your wedding.
So the chess scandal that rocked the chess world, we were keeping close tabs on that throughout.
For like 4 weeks.
Longer than that, I think. There was just constant updates. But this is another chess update that has nothing to do with that scandal, but is just a feel-good story that I wanted to highlight for no other reason, just because we talk about chess in the show and because I think it's a really good story. But there is his name's Tani Adewumi. Hopefully I said that right. He's Nigerian. But he rose to sudden stardom at the age of 8 for his striking chess skills. He beat 73 opponents and clinched the New York State Chess Championship for his division. At the time, in 2019, he was living with his family in a homeless shelter while he was winning all of these contests. Jeez. As an 8-year-old, because his family had moved to New York from Nigeria in 2017 seeking religious asylum after his family, who is devoutly Christian, was threatened by the terrorist group Boko Haram and forced to flee the country. So at 10, he was named National Master, and his current title is it FIDE? FIDE Master, a prestigious designation awarded by the International Chess Governing Body. And now at 12, Tani and his family were just officially granted asylum in the United States.
I will watch this movie when it's made.
I know, right? There's some books already. Yeah, like when you Google his name, there's some. He's gotten a lot of press over time, but I just It's such a good story. Yeah. Congratulations to him and his family for finally getting asylum. I mean, that's such a long, right? This is not even touching on the Title 42 things that are going on in the Supreme Court and how that's been extended and how many people are, you know, at the border and the mess that all is. But think about that. His family's been here since 2017 and has taken, despite his success and his kind of media darling of this prodigy, 5 years in this like limbo status of they're not citizens. They haven't been granted asylum. Like that's how long it takes to try to go through this process.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, congratulations to them. That's such a great story. It's shocking. It blows my mind to think about a 10 or 12 year old being that smart. But also just a reminder of how long and painstakingly slow our immigration and asylum seeking processes are.
And that's, you know, when I think about that process, which I know very little about, I will totally admit, but I just know it's long. It's heartbreakingly long. When people sit there and say things like, well, if these people just want to come into our country, do it. Why don't they just do it the right way? It's like, do you know how long the right way
takes?
And
how expensive.
How expensive and how easy. It's like they can do everything correct. They can fill out all the right paperwork, go to all the right locations, talk to all the right people. And then they can just at one point be like, nope, you're done. And you got to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to get into the discussion of the process of people coming here in non-law abiding ways, but I understand it. They want to get away from terrible places and they want to come here because they feel like it's a better place. And that's great. Is there anything we can do to make it just a skosh easier, just a little bit easier for people? Or is the process supposed to be hard and long because people are like, well,
it's supposed to be a deterrent.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it also just feels like,
I don't mean to make this topic depressing. This was supposed to be a fun topic.
but I do think that there's something we said as far as both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, constantly running on fixing immigration, fixing immigration. There's constantly talks about how immigration can solve some of our declining population problems and our workforce problems. And that there is people, like you said, who want, like, why can't they just come legally? Well, the actual process of doing that legally, there's very few avenues that even allow you to do that. You basically have to seek asylum, have a family member sponsor you, get married, although that might be considered the same bucket. Have your work sponsor you and school. And I think that's it.
And I think
so. You can't just come here.
And I'm wondering if I'm not saying the kid didn't earn these titles. I'm never saying that. The kid is 50 miles smarter than I am. But I'm wondering if the chess community came together and said, we need to do everything we can for him to put in the paperwork. He is a viable citizen. He's a viable person to allow to stay in your country because of these things. He can do great things. He's inspired. I don't know.
Like maybe they helped them navigate the system.
Yeah, exactly. And if they did, awesome. And that's where we can say like, that's the happiness of it. I feel like when a story has Boko Haram in it, it's not always so happy. So, no.
Well, and if you're looking for some inspiration, just go on Google or YouTube and Google chess kids. There are videos from some of these chess tournaments where they're playing multiple people at the same. It's remarkable. It's honestly remarkable. You will be so impressed and so excited for these kids.
Do you think you're just born that way?
Yes. I think your brain's wired that way.
Yes.
Because I think your brain is wired not so much to be like, you will be great at chess. I think your brain is wired in a way that you have, because you can be good at chess, but it's like any other. We were talking about this before, sport versus, you know, competition, that kind of thing. It's like any other sport, if you will, where you have to learn and study and get into it and like read all the old matches. You're not just good one day.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Brett Poliquin, Director of Development and Marketing of Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County, is going to be here. Stay around.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.